Oh, kind of cool.
Slay. Okay. Hi, guys.
Do you want to do our fake intro, or do you want me to do it?
Can you do it?
All right. Hi, guys. It is Debbie, also known as Roots Metals, and...
Neurotic Jewish gay.
Also known as Amelia.
Oh, Amelia. Yeah, that's my name.
And we don't do intros because we think intros are fucking stupid. So you're going to have to deal with it.
Yeah, a little corny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are here with Tessa Bexler, who has been on the news quite a bit recently. And we thought we would talk to her today. It's been a minute since we've had a guest. So.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Thank you for coming.
So we were thinking of just having you like tell our audience what's been going on with you and everything. Yeah,
there's been a lot. I mean, since October 7th, I think we all know that anti-Semitism on college campuses has been pretty awful. And UCSB is not the exception, even though I do think that we are the best UC for Jewish students and have consistently been. We're the only UC that hasn't passed DDS. So, you know, we've always had like a very strong Jewish community here, and we've usually kind of gotten by conversations about Israel and Palestine on campus without, you know, too much damage being done. And since October 7th, I think we've been dealing with a completely new animal on campus, and especially at UCSB with me being, you know, someone who's Jewish and also openly Zionist and the student body president, having such a public facing role, it's irked some people and rubbed them the wrong way, even though I haven't been vocal about it in my position at all. But on my personal social media, I have obviously posted about it, and I was the president of Students Supporting Israel when people actually voted me in. So it wasn't like I was coming out as a Zionist all of a sudden after October 7th. It was pretty obvious that that was who I was. But I've actually been getting a lot of harassment targeted at me since October 9th, which is the first day that I kind of posted something on social media about everything that was happening. So for context, that was like before Israel had even responded.
Yeah.
And yet already I was getting just bombarded with hate. And in the past 2 weeks, this hate has kind of culminated and reached like a whole new level. We had an instance at our multicultural center on campus where some students put up a sign that said Zionist not allowed. And the Jewish community, you know, had a decision to make, and they chose to be brave, and they kind of went and sat there during the day just to kind of show that we wouldn't be pushed out. And I went both as a Jewish student, but also as the student body president to provide support and, you know, make sure that exclusion is not, doesn't have a place on our campus. And during this whole sit-in, which I have been told not to call it that because a sit-in would be like protesting, even though we were allowed to be in that space. Like, it's not like we aren't allowed there. We were just kind of showing that we are using our right to be there. People started putting up posters that were directly attacking me and, you know, writing things like, you can run, but you can't hide, with my full name.
That's fucking scary.
Yeah, it was very uncomfortable. I did stay in the room the whole time. I was watching. I mean, they were putting it up like in front of me to try to get me out of the room, I'm assuming. And, you know, afterward, I think I came into my office. I cried for like a solid hour. And then I was just like, you know, I think I don't want to be quiet about this anymore. I think I've reached my breaking point. And I think that me not saying anything is actually what's allowed this to continue. So I went online and I posted about it, and it blew up. And since then, the anti-Semitism I've been experiencing on campus has only gotten worse, and people are calling for my impeachment. And yeah, it's been really challenging, to say the least.
That sounds so dramatic.
Like, that's insane.
It's also even more dramatic. It's even more dramatic considering that the next election for student government is in a month. So there's going to be a new president very soon, That's I only so have, like, silly. 2 months left.
Are yeah. you a senior?
I am, yeah.
That's crazy. Had you had any, like, experiences of anti-Semitism on campus directed at you before any of this, or no?
Not targeted at me in this way. There was anti-Semitism on campus that I had experienced mm-hmm. as, like, a member of the Jewish community, but nothing like this before, at least not in college. So for it to be this blatant and for people to be using, again, it's, like, my full name, mm-hmm. so it makes me really identifiable. Someone made an entire post about how I was doxing students, but then released my phone number in the post. So, like, dox me, even though I didn't yeah. dox anyone. So, yeah, it's just been a crazy situation.
I mean, I think, like, if there's anything we've seen is that, like, everything they accuse us of is, like, a blatant projection.
Yeah.
Oh, for like, sure.
Obviously, like, both of us have a lot of experience dealing with anti-Semitism online. And, well, at least me, I've been doxed a couple times. One time by a QAnon person, which was really terrifying.
That's so scary.
That's terrifying. But, yeah, that was. I think that was, like, one of the times that where I actually, like, legitimately felt unsafe. How has, like, the majority of the school responded to what happened?
I think that the saddest part about all of this is that I think my worst nightmare has, like, come true, that I thought that people would be very loud about standing up against. I never learned my lesson, honestly. Like, every time, like, something happens, I'm like, oh my God, like, the worse it is for us, maybe the more people will sympathize. But it's the yeah. opposite. Not a single person has called out this instance as anti-Semitism. I was just sitting on campus literally a couple hours ago, just, like, doing my homework, and there was a group of girls sitting behind me who didn't know it was me. And they were, like, screaming about this situation, being like, can you believe that Tessa Vexler is saying that, like, you know, this is a anti-Semitic situation. It's about her being a Zionist, not about her being a Jew. And, like, them just screaming about it. And it just shows, like, how people just don't believe us. And I would say mm-hmm. that the majority of the campus community, I mean, the majority of their bystanders and followers and have no opinions of their own, but a lot of the campus community is angry because they're reading things online that are completely, yeah. you know, misguided and a farce and defamatory. So I think the majority of the campus community doesn't like me right now. So, and I'm not surprised, depending on what they're hearing.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously it's not on you, because it's not about you. It's just, like, they're using, I mean, another thing I've learned is, like, they're just projecting their feelings about Jews onto you, and it's not about you as a person.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I've noticed, like, a lot of Instagram activists, like, we all get the exact same messages accusing us of the exact same things. Particularly genocide, and it doesn't matter, like, where we stand on, like, the political spectrum, the occupation, even, like, the war in Gaza, like, it doesn't matter, because they're just, like, saying the same things to us because they're projecting whatever they think.
Yeah, that's something that I've learned also, is that there's no use trying to placate them by trying to even, like, I mean, I've done so many news interviews where I've cleared up all of the things that people are saying, but no one cares. No one cares what I have to say or my narrative or the truth. So yeah. I've kind of given up on that. And I don't know. I've honestly just been extremely supported by the Jewish world. And I've been really I mean, I know the Jewish community comes together, but it's just been a really beautiful thing to see. But it's also been really scary to witness the non-Jewish world, or, like, at least the non-Jewish world within the echo chamber at UCSB that I'm a part of, completely close their eyes to this. And I was just recently in a meeting with all of the student body presidents of all the UCs and UC President Drake. And we were all talking about campus climate, and I went for, like, 5 minutes and just talked about my story. I was so vulnerable about all of it, and I was so emotional. Mm-hmm. not a word. Like, not even words of, like, empathy or how can we help you? Zero. Yeah. And the first thing that came out of someone's mouth was, well, we found a solution to the things you're mentioning, and it's divestment. And they went on, like, a 10-minute tangent about how every UC is past BDS except for UCSB and how we should be using the solution that we've already passed. And, you know, after the meeting, I was just like, how is the world so blind? And, like, how are these the student leaders that I share a space with and they can't even see, you know, that this is happening? So it's just been very crazy.
That's so shitty. Like, the solution to, like, what you're telling me right now is actually, like, you know, something I want. Like,
right.
Like,
I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about, like, gaslighting in the past 48 hours, I want to say, since the Oscars.
Oh, my God.
And what transpired, awful. And particularly, like, the whole thing with the red pin. And, like, it doesn't matter, like, how many times I've said, like, we don't know who designed it. We don't know if it was intended as a dog whistle, but we know that it evoked a certain traumatizing response for a lot of people in the community. And, like, this is the reason. Instead of, like, validating that, people have accused me of, like, creating conspiracies, even though I've clearly said, like, we don't even know, like, the intention behind what happened.
Right.
It's more about, like, what the image evokes for the Jewish community. And, like, so they'll just be like, oh, it's a conspiracy, or, you know, I just got a message telling me that I was playing the victim, and just, like, all this stuff. And it's just, like,
I think, like, the point is that it's about impact. And that's what I've been talking about with this situation also. They're like, but we weren't trying to exclude Zionists. We were making a political statement that we don't want Zionists in our whatever, like, whatever it was. And I'm like, but you know what? I was like, okay, got it. Like, you're talking about a political ideology. I don't know what the hell they're talking about, but they claim that it's something. But I said, I was like, if the impact is the fact that the Jewish community feels excluded, then you have to change things, right?
Right.
And it's this, and it's crazy that we're the only minority that's told that. Because if you say something and you're like, well, I didn't mean to be racist, it's still impacted a person to feel that it's racist.
Exactly.
So it's the same thing with the pins. You're absolutely right that it's just like, it doesn't really matter what the intention was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there might, maybe some of us even agree with the messaging of it. But the point is that the actual symbol itself had an impact of Jewish pain. So I don't
know. And it's something crazy. Like, I don't know why I feel the need to, like, over explain and be like, it's something that the community has been talking about, like, since October. Like, it's not anything that we just decided to say after the Oscars to, like, play the victim. And to me, like, I don't know, after the Oscars and after, like, the backlash, the website, I don't know if you saw that, but, like, the website updated, the website, like, the Artists for Ceasefire website updated it.
I didn't see that.
And put, like, an explanation for the pin, whereas, like, it wasn't there before. Like, if you go on, like, Wayback Machine, it's not there before. So clearly they saw the criticism, and instead of being like, hey, like, this is something that, even if it wasn't intended, was hurtful to half the people involved in the conflict, they just, like, doubled down.
Yeah.
And said, like, this is a symbol of our shared humanity. And it's like, how is it a symbol of our shared humanity if, like, half the people involved in this are hurt by it?
It's crazy that, you know, you brought up the doubling down thing too, because I feel like we are always willing to make concessions of some kind.
Yeah.
Like, every single time someone's, like, telling me, oh, well, you make, you know, your opinions make me feel unsafe on campus, I still acknowledge the fact that they say it, and I try to fix it, even though I don't understand. And I think that Jews are held to a completely different standard than the rest of the world. It's crazy to me that we are the only people that are completely, I don't know, just ignored.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's like, I don't know, people think that, I don't know, people think about us a lot more. It's like, the way that people think about us is, like, disproportionate to, like, how many Jews there are in the world. But, like, they think because were like hyper visible, it means that they are actually listening to the community, when really it's like more of like a perception of who they think Jews are than actually listening to Jews.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very, it's disheartening.
I know. I'm like, it's for me, that's kind of why I made this post recently where I said being Jewish is the highest of highs and the lowest of lows, because yeah. I think that we have the greatest gift like ever, that we have this community. I've never seen any other like group of people have what we have as a community, yeah. and I wouldn't change it for anything. And unfortunately, the reason that we have this tight bound community, and the reason why Israel, you know, has like this strength like no other, is because we have to stick together, because the rest of the world has historically turned against us.
Yeah.
And I think I find a lot of strength in that. And that's exactly why I've continued to be as loud as I am. I mean, I think it's also part of my personality, but I also think that it's a part of my inherent Jewishness that I feel this sense of responsibility to be loud and to talk about it, because like the presidency is going to end, me being a student at UCSB is going to end. But what's not going to end is my identity, and the fact that people want to strip me of that just because I have a role. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I keep saying it also, like, I'm not going to be conditionally Jewish for you. You want me, you're like, well, I don't hate you because you're Jewish. I hate you because you're a Zionist. That means that you need me to be a very specific type of Jew for you to accept me. So I'm not, yeah. I'm not going to change the fact that I'm Jewish for anybody else. And people have also been coming after me and saying, well, like, well, you have an affiliation with, like, you know, all these other, like, Stand With Us and ICC and all these other organizations that are pro-Israel. And they're like, well, you should be neutral. And I'm like, who said that I should be neutral? Who said that? And also, like, would you say that to any other person? Like, if I was a Black student and I was the president and I was a part of the Black Student Union, like, would that be a problem? That's right. What people have been harassing me about is, like, well, are you on the board of any of Hillel or Jewish organizations? Because you shouldn't be. It's biased. So it's just like those things of, like, again, different standards, and also the fact that we are expected to cut ties with our identity just because we assume a certain role, but our identities shouldn't be compromised just because we have a certain job or role in society.
It's like a different kind of anti-Semitism than when people think of anti-Semitism, I feel like they generally think of like physically hurting Jews, and not that these pro-Palestine people don't hurt Jews physically, but it's more of like, you know, like the greater effect that they have is not necessarily physically eliminating the Jewishness, but like stripping like the specific Jewish identity of people. And like for the vast majority of Jews in the world, Israel is like a central part to being Jewish. And so if you're taking that away, like, yeah, you're not, you know, being Hitler and killing 6 million Jews, but you are tearing away a part of what makes you you and what makes your, what is important to your identity. And I wish people would understand that or cared.
Yeah. No, I also, again, I think what shocked me the most about October 7th is that it's just so blatant. Like, I think the one thing that anti-Semites acknowledge I notice as the Holocaust is, I'll be like, yeah, that was a tragedy. Like, that was pretty bad, right? But then we go through something that's like, you know, the biggest massacre since then. And
yeah,
I remember, so I'm Shabbat observant, so I didn't have my phone on October 7th when this all happened. And I remember my roommates woke me up in the morning on Saturday, and they were like, literally, I woke up and they're both like sitting on the bed, just like staring at me. And I'm like, okay, you guys are being creepy. Like, why are you just staring at me? And they're waiting for me to wake up. And they were like, well, we wanted to tell you that a war started in Israel. And I'm like, what else is new? I've been there for two of them. Like,
that was, you know, like literally my same reaction that
night. I was like, yeah, dude, they do the rocket thing ain't new. Like, they do it all the time. And they were like, no. Like, this is not what you think it is. And I remember like, seeing the first video was of Nama, and I know we've all seen that video, and I was just like, I was just completely thrown. And I didn't get my phone back until the evening of October 8th because it was a 2-day holiday. And I remember thinking, I'm like, maybe, I was like, this is it. I was like, maybe this is the thing that's going to be the turning point and get people on our side. Yeah. And I remember one of the first posts that I saw when I opened my phone and like saw all of this flooding in like 48 hours of stuff was, I don't remember who said it, but it was like some politician. And he was like, to my Jewish community, enjoy the sympathy while it lasts. Because the second Israel responds, it'll be gone. And I remember I saved it and I was like, I hope he's wrong. And he was right.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us had that same reaction. My sister at the time was like at the beach with a group of friends. And one of them, my sister was born in Israel, but she didn't grow up in Israel. One of her friends is like born and raised Israeli, like was there his whole life. And she said he told her, like, as everything was going down, like, you know, maybe the world will finally see who we have as our neighbors. And he was talking about Hamas before people flip out.
Yeah.
And it's just so crazy that he was wrong. Like, it's just really, I don't know, it's so unbelievable to me.
But people forgot about October 7th very quickly.
Yeah, and even, like, another thing I noticed on October 7th is that even the people that, you know, posted, you know, this is wrong, whatever, this is wrong regardless of what you think of the Israeli government. First of all, that was, to me, that was kind of upsetting because
that fucking pissed me off so much.
Right, like, if there's a terrorist attack in, I don't know, Iraq, like, you don't post a thing and go, like, you know, we're so sorry for the lives lost in Iraq, even though we don't support their government. Like, that's just so, like, that has nothing to do with that. And then
it was so embarrassing. I was looking at it, a lot of Americans were doing it, not as many Australians, and I was like, you guys are fucking pussy, like, what's wrong with you? Like, I just couldn't believe how much, like, I don't know, it was like people were writing like PhDs
a five paragraph intro before saying you like condemn raping people.
Like, I'm not reading all that.
But also, like, the other thing I was gonna say that kind of like I think ties into like the whole like, you know, stripping people of their Jewishness is that I saw a lot of like support that was kind of like would not mention the word Israel, wouldn't say Israelis, and to me it's like, okay, would barely say Jews, and to me it's like, okay, so you're acknowledging that massacring civilians, mutilating them, raping them, whatever, taking them hostage is wrong, but you're not acknowledging that doing these things to Israeli civilians specifically is wrong. Even, you know, you won't say it. You specifically are leaving that word out. That was disheartening.
I think people are dehumanizing or have always just dehumanized us. And I think that's what makes it, I think the hypocrisy of it all, by the way, is every time I see, you know, what is being asked of us from the other side, like, see our humanity, well, see ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, it's all of these things that are being called for. I just see so much hypocrisy in it because I think that as a Jewish world, we've, again, like, gotten so used to, okay, like, we'll give you something else, or like, okay, like, we'll give up a little piece of ourselves for you to just finally accept us. And like, it never works. And the other side is not willing to do the same. They're not willing to accept our humanity. They're not willing to see us for who we really are. They're not willing to see that anti-Semitism is real. Yeah. And I think that that's like the craziest thing. And I just don't know how to flip the mirror back onto them because it doesn't seem to bother them.
Yeah, I really don't understand how they can lecture us about dehumanization. Not that there's not Israelis that have, or Jews that have dehumanized Palestinians. Like, I've certainly seen it.
Of course.
But I just find it really strange for people who, like, literally celebrated our murder, or slaughter. People who thought it was okay for, like, you know, people to parade in the streets of Gaza with our heads as trophies to lecture us about dehumanization.
And people would celebrate it. Sorry.
Yeah. No. They go ahead, please.
Yeah. No. They were like celebrating here. Like on one hand, Tessa, as you said, they were saying like, what, like ceasefire now, and like condemning Israel before they responded. But a lot of other people were just like celebrate. Like, I don't know. That's what really got me. Yeah. Tessa, did anyone try and like ask you or pressure you to not speak out?
Not directly. No one knew that I was going to do it, if that makes sense. I didn't really tell anyone. Mm-hmm. I just kind of posted it and I was like, okay, let's see what happens. But yeah. I mean, I think the pressure is just coming now, but not directly. It's like attempts to intimidate and, you know, to make me uncomfortable. And it's gotten to the point now that every single evening around like midnight, I get a message from like a friend or a community member telling me that they have a flyer in their mailbox that's calling for my recall. So it's they're like putting flyers in mailboxes that say recall Tessa Vexler with a, you know, and it's just it's just crazy how like the intimidation, because the reality is that I'm not the president of the United States. I'm the president of like one public university in California. Literally,
that's what I was going to say. Like it's,
yeah, that's like whose the term kind is of over stuff, in a month. Yeah. So
that's the kind of stuff that makes it so clear to me that this is like more about intimidating Jews than actually like enacting any change. Because what are you going to do?
Wear a pit. Also,
instead of trying to come to the table with me and talk to me and try to see how we can like improve our campus climate, I feel like people are trying to get me out of the position, which isn't going to help anyone. I can't help anyone if I'm not in this position. So not sure, you know, where to go from there. But I think that these individuals thrive off having a hostile campus climate, and especially one that's hostile toward me. So I wish that there was something that I could do to like get these people to the table. But if they don't recognize me as a human being and they've dehumanized me to this certain level, that there's no, you know, cooperation that can really happen, no matter how hard I may try to do it. There are some students that I've been working with pretty diligently to try and get somewhere and just try to work together. I also think it's interesting that, you know, like we were just talking about how, like, you know, they write 5 paragraphs and then they condemn, you know, whatever, what happened on October 7th, or like they call for the release of hostages in like one like sentence out of like a 7-paragraph statement. And I don't think that people realize that it's not damaging to their fight and what they're fighting for to acknowledge Jewish suffering and Jewish pain. Like, it's not damaging for them to fight for a Palestinian cause to acknowledge that Jews were murdered on October 7th and to acknowledge that keeping hostages is illegal and horrifying and like,
yeah, I mean, I actually terrorism. Think it has like, if you don't acknowledge it, it has like the opposite effect where like, you know,
right,
Jews and Israelis don't feel like we can come together with you to like figure out a solution. It's exactly. Alienating. So yeah. I don't know.
That's
there's
what I
just
keep
so
thinking.
Many things.
Yeah. And I keep thinking about it in an individual situation for me as well, where I'm like, you know, wouldn't harm what you're trying to fight for to acknowledge that what's happening to me is bullying and harassment, anti-Semitic. Like, you mm-hmm. can say, oh, like, I don't condone that this happened, but I also want change, or also I don't agree with you. And also maybe like, I don't feel as comfortable with like the fact that I'm super on the other side of the spectrum of my opinion on this conflict than you. Like, those are all valid opinions. It's valid to be, I would be uncomfortable for sure if like the president of the student body completely went against what I believe in. And if, mm-hmm. especially for those that see it as a part of their moral compass to believe that in like this a certain way. So I acknowledge that and I understand that, but my removal from office is not a solution, because you're never going to fully agree with the person that's in office. But I was, you know, democratically elected, and I have been in this position for a very long time before this war started. So yeah, I don't know. I just think it's like ridiculous to be focused on like this one element of my recall when in reality the campus climate is also, I'm being blamed for the entirety of the problems with campus climate, which is really crazy because like, how can one individual be responsible? And I've been trying to show people that, like, it's a collective effort that we have to decide to be able to talk about this in a constructive way, to not be anti-Semitic, to not be Islamophobic. Like,
yeah,
it's not that hard, but it's your choice to make, not mine.
Yeah, I think to what you were saying just a second ago, we live in a climate where, like, you have to agree with people on everything 100% mm-hmm. all the time, which is absolutely ridiculous. Like, that's never going to happen ever in life. And just, like, the littlest things just get you shunned from your echo chamber if you think differently.
I see it in the Jewish world, too. I mean, my recent post, I got, like, the majority of the hate that I got on my recent post was mm-hmm. from Jews.
And yeah, it's crazy. I recently did a story on, it was a couple weeks ago, I think, but I did a story just kind of, like, feeling despair about the situation in Gaza, because obviously I don't enjoy seeing human suffering. And there was, like, you know, I was just kind of like, I feel like we're in between a rock and a hard place, because this is horrifying. Yeah. Like, we don't want this, but I just don't know another legitimate way out of the situation we're in. And that's just, you know, that's my opinion. That's whatever. But I got a lot of hate from Jews for that, saying I was being a traitor and whatever. And I was just like, after all I've done for the Jewish
community, that's exactly, like, that's what it is. That's exactly so ridiculous. What it is.
It's so ridiculous. Like, acknowledging the humanity of other humans, like, does not deter from.
Yeah, of course. I think the one thing I'm so proud of being Jewish is that we do acknowledge humanity. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's like RBG's face that's in my head, but I'm just like, there's a reason we've had all these Jewish Supreme Court justices, and it's because we have a really great moral compass through our Jewish identity.
Yeah. But yeah, and then, you know, people then flip that and they're like, well, if you think you're, like, the most moral in the world, then why can't we hold the IDF to higher standards, blah blah blah. But I don't know, there, like, so much of the criticism of the IDF is just, like, not based on reality. It's
bullshit
based on misinformation. I was just working on a thing for one of my clients that I work for about how there's been a lot of headlines about, like, how the destruction in Gaza is, like, the, you know, like, the most, it's been the most destructive war in terms of, like, destroying buildings of, you know, of this century or something like that. It was more destructive than Berlin at the end of World War II or something like that. And apparently how they got to that is,
that's crazy.
Yeah, how they got, and this was reported in, like, the Wall Street Journal, BBC, I'm pretty sure Bloomberg, like, it was pretty widely reported. And apparently how they got to that conclusion is that they used, like, an AI system that has never been, like, it's never been tried for accuracy because it's never been used for this purpose.
Oh, good.
And it has, like, a very low, like, Jesus. I don't understand computers, so, like, I'm probably saying it wrong, but it has, like, a very low resolution for images, and so, like, and it tends to, like, change the color or something, so, like, it's not, it shouldn't be considered entirely accurate, especially because it's never been used for this purpose before. And so, like, it's stuff like that then leads to criticism that is unfounded.
Yeah. And many of our news outlets have completely lost journalistic integrity, as we saw with the New York Times. So people just publish anything nowadays.
Yeah.
Anything. And, like, even the ones that, I don't know, there's so many, like, authoritarian funded media outlets.
Oh yeah.
But, like, even the stuff that isn't, it's like, why, how are you, like, reporting this as fact when this is an AI thing that has never been tried for this purpose before? You're not going to say this is how you figured it out. You're just going to cite an expert. And then if you, like, trace down the expert, that's how they figured it out. And so, like, but it's stuff like that. So, like, you know what? Like, I don't blame fucking Billie Eilish for wearing a pin, because, like, if you that's the information you're receiving, then...
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know, it sucks.
I know. And we definitely have this, like, systemic anti-Semitism issue within news outlets, and we also have it within universities. I wrote, like, an essay about it for a class recently based on Barry Weiss's article in the Free Press about, you know, foreign aid to American universities and the linkage of that with anti-Semitism. And it's just, like, it's so fascinating to me how... Yeah. Like, I know there's, like, a lot of documentaries that are going to be made about this and tracking that specifically, because I think that it serves as a really good explanation, because there's no logical explanation for this, like, to the naked eye as to why people believe the way they do. Why do people have more sympathy for terrorists than they do for Jews? Like, it just doesn't make a lot of sense.
I don't, like...
I tell you, like, this is all I think about. Like, this is literally all I think about is Qatar funding universities.
I think also there's malicious actors like Qatar. I 100% believe Qatar is trying to, it has like a certain agenda in terms of like foreign policy. But I also think that in like a lot of situations, it's, there's like this dormant bias that already existed just because anti-Semitism is like so ingrained, even if people don't really know it, and so they just have this tendency to not give our experience and our statements as much weight as the other side. And then we're seeing this on like a global scale, and I think that's a lot of it as well.
I feel like there's a lot of post 9/11 guilt as well.
100%.
And it's just like, I don't know. Like,
true,
with the oppression Olympics, it's, you know, pushed Muslims and Arabs way down, and for some reason, us way up, even though we obviously did 9/11.
Yeah, I mean, tell everyone what you were saying about your sociology class to me when I was in New York.
So I had this professor. She was an adjunct, but I decided to take her, like, sociology of the elderly class and sociology of gender class. So we did, like, intersectionality. We did, like, 5 whole lessons on it, and she literally did it. She called them, like, the train tracks. And, like, would write it on the board and, like, with the highest, people with the most privileged at the top and people with the least privileged at the bottom. So when we were doing the, like, not even, like, when we're doing the religion part, and I feel like Judaism is more than a religion, but that's another story. So at the top, like, the most, at the bottom, I'm sorry, the most oppressed were witches. And then atheists, no, sorry, witches and Muslims, and then atheists, and then Jews were, like, just below Christians. Like, Jews were above, Jews are more oppressed than atheists, and...
Wait, no, atheists I'm sorry, are more oppressed than Jews.
Atheists are more oppressed than Jews, and witches. Witches are more oppressed than Jews. And I was, like, this is... fucking crazy.
Wait, so Christians were the most oppressed?
No, were the least.
Yeah, but like least, we were
sorry,
like,
I like got confused.
Oh, least oppressed.
This.
Yes,
yeah,
yes,
but
yes,
we were
it.
Like almost on the same status as Christians, which is just, I'm sorry, that's absurd. But like that, I think that's like also a problem in like just the left in general, but also like in colleges. And granted, I haven't been in school in a very long time, but I feel like
wait, like, was this in the US? Sorry, most oppressed in the world?
Yeah. Oh. See, it doesn't, it only accounts for like US, I think.
Okay. I was like, how many Muslim countries do we have and how many Jewish countries do we
have? Americans think the world.
No, Americans are the center of the
America,
world.
Yeah. But yeah, like I don't know, like this whole idea of like your oppressed categories, almost like being social currency to like validate your opinions and feelings and everything is so weird to me. And I feel like it's like not, it doesn't fit with like 3,000 years of like the Jewish mentality. Like, I just don't think that's how we've thought. So like, I don't know. I was watching this or listening to this podcast with Barry Weiss, and I don't agree with her on a lot of things, but on some things I do. And I don't know enough about like DEI to like fucking have an opinion on it. So I'm not even going to say that. But like, she was talking about this whole like ladder of the oppressed and like,
yeah, that's literally what
like, oppression of social as social currency or whatever. And she's like, it just doesn't like, that's just not the Jewish mindset. And like, so what do we like go in front of them and like plead our case for how oppressed we are? That's just not how it's,
of course, it's not. That's not how we function.
Exactly. And
no, we rise above.
Exactly. And I just think it's such a, I think it's such, in general, for anyone, it's a very harmful way to think.
It's so bad. I feel like I bought into it a little bit. And then recently I've been like, what the, like, why did I do that? That's so embarrassing.
Because, like, I feel like I had a feeling that, like, in a sense, it would, like, validate your trauma or your experiences or, like, your, I don't know, like, it would just validate, like, what you have gone through.
Yeah.
And then October 7th happened, and I realized it wasn't actually about what you've gone through. It's about, like, how they've defined or categorized certain groups of people.
Mm-hmm. And, 100%.
Like, you know, if there's a massacre like that of Jews, then we still don't have that social currency for people to listen to it, to us, because we've just not been put in that category.
Yeah. And also, and we so, people know. Use, like, the whiteness of Ashkenazi Jews to try to tell us that anti-Semitism is not like a real oppression that we can face. Mm-hmm. There was a professor at UCSB who just made a post recently that was pretty obviously about me, talking about how I'm like weaponizing my white womanhood. And it's just like, it's crazy to me, because everyone, like, also conversations I was having like in the past 2 weeks when I was trying to have dialogue before all this happened, students come coming up to me and being like, well, you make up the majority. And I'm like, who's the majority? And they're like, white Jews on campus have a majority here. And I'm just like, but even, and I'm just like, why? And I was like, so that means that anti-Semitism isn't real? And they're like, yeah, not on this campus. Like, it can't be, you guys are the white majority. Like, you know, and it's just like, I don't know. I just don't understand how, like, clearly I'm not white enough, or like my whiteness doesn't matter to an anti-Semite. You know what I mean? Especially considering where my parents came from. My parents and my brother are from the former Soviet Union, where they were always told that they weren't white enough. Like, you couldn't be Ukrainian if you were Jewish. It was literally marked on your, you know, documents that you were Jewish, that you were not a Soviet, you know, person. So it's just crazy that, like, back then it's like, okay, we weren't white enough. And then we get here and now we're too white. Like, it's like, what is the goal here? Like, what are people trying to convince us of? And also, it's pretty obvious, again, that, like, one of the worst things that ever happened to us in our thousands of years of history was the Holocaust, which literally had to do with that we were not white enough. So, you know, that in particular, I hate.
I just today did a post on Holocaust universalization. And that's a hard word to say. And so when I was doing research for it, I was listening to this lecture from this like Holocaust historian, and she was talking about this phenomenon. And one of the things she was saying is like this like stripping of Jews of like the specificity of our experience of the Holocaust, and kind of making it like almost like the heritage of the entire world, is done to like strip Jews of like this experience of oppression. And so if we like talk about anti-Semitism or whatever, like we can't point to the Holocaust and be like, this was like literally an experience where it was racial anti-Semitism. We were not considered like the white race. But because it's been stripped from us and it's just kind of like has become like this, the heritage of the whole world and this lesson for everyone to learn, then it's just like, we're just looked at as like white people complaining about something that doesn't belong to us.
Exactly. And it's so crazy that they're so fixated on our whiteness because they're fixated on that and like not accepting Ashkenazi Jews, but then they also don't accept the fact that Jews of color exist either. Yeah. So like, I feel like their views themselves are just like super Eurocentric. It's just, I mean, again, the hypocrisy of all of it is like the crazy thing.
Yeah, I mean, they say they're like anti-imperialism and they're like projecting their own understanding of like the social structure of the United States onto something halfway around the world. Like, is that not imperialism?
Yeah, the Western mindset. Absolutely.
Like, none of it makes sense. Like, there's so much cognitive dissonance everywhere that it's just like, it's really mind-boggling to me how they don't see it.
Yeah. So fucking Delulu.
It's true. No. I don't know, like, what it'll take for the world to wake up.
Yeah.
I don't know. After October 7th, I just have no hope that they will, and we'll just keep doing what we've been doing and rise above it and move to Israel if we have to.
I always like have this like vision of, I don't know, people like Jews moving to Israel, and then you like pass someone on like Tel Aviv Beach that was like the bitch to you in high school. I don't know why, I just like always think about that.
Listen, we all made it here in the end, so.
Yeah, that's true.
My beach is your beach.
Oh,
yeah. That's true. Like, I don't know. I always think about this too when people are like, Israel doesn't need to exist. Actually, someone who said something that I've been using a lot lately is Charlotte Korchak from Stand With Us. And she said something like, every time a non-Jew asks you, when a non-Jew tells you that Israel doesn't deserve to exist and that you don't need Israel to exist, ask them if they would hide you in their attic. And if they say no, which they probably will, that's our case for Israel.
I think a lot of people would say yes,
they don't mean it.
They don't mean it at all. The second that it gets hard for them, I mean, exactly, like, I'm even seeing, like, the people that I, you know, that I work closely with, people that I thought, you know, were my allies. They were my allies until it started giving them some negative attention to friends with a Jew or friends with a Zionist.
I literally think that's what's happened with a lot of celebrities. They just got bullied into doing that.
Like, you wouldn't even say, like, Israelis dying is bad, and you think you're going to hide me in your attic. Your attic.
You know, if they don't want Jews in Israel, they sure have a funny way of making Jews everywhere else feel unsafe.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's insane. Yeah. Tessa, do you know what you're going to do after school, after you graduate?
Yes, I'm moving to New York.
Oh, nice.
Yes, I'll be working in public relations.
Oh, awesome.
Thank you. And I'll continue. I have like a couple projects in mind that will come to light, you know, in the next 6 months to a year, hopefully. And obviously, I think I've recognized that if I'm given like the voice, I want to use it, you know. Mm-hmm. So if people are paying attention to me, as long as they're paying attention, I'll keep talking.
Yeah.
And probably even if they aren't, but especially when they are.
Awesome. Is there anything else anyone wanted to link?
I want to ask you one question. Because I had read before you mentioned it, but I had read that your family was from the Soviet Union. Do you have like anything to say specifically about their experience of being Jews there? Because I feel like there's, especially in the left, there's just kind of like the Lulu perceptions of what the Soviet Union was like. And I don't know. I just think it's important for people to know.
Yeah, I mean, it was like ranging from everything to like daily microaggressions to being identified as being Jewish in a classroom setting. like on a roster, like my mom would talk about, like how it would identify, like from the age of seven, that if you were a Jewish person in the classroom, it would say your nationality, your ethnicity, next to your name. So, and you know, just like microaggressions and like language that was used, different slurs toward Jews. My parents, you know, obviously had a very arduous journey to get to the United States, and I think it's because they saw that they had no choice if they wanted my brother to grow up with a different life. I know that my dad was in the Soviet Army, as every man was required to be at the age of 18, and he was treated pretty horribly in many ways. I know he was like physically attacked, and he had many instances, and it's crazy that like the injuries that he came back like when he came back from the army were like from people that were in his unit rather than from like actual warfare, because people hated Jews so much, you know. So it was just a daily life was challenging. Exclusion. My parents obviously like couldn't go to certain universities. You had to mark that you were Jewish on your college applications. So everything, the way of life was different. The way people treated you was different. And there was just years of persecution. My grandparents survived during World War II by leaving the country. I don't remember exactly where they went. I think they went to Uzbekistan. I would have to check. But they had to leave, and that's how they survived. If they had stayed, they wouldn't have. My great-grandfather fought in the Soviet Army during World War II as well, and wasn't acknowledged until many years later because he was a Jew for his fighting in it. And he lost all 12 of his siblings during the war and prior as well, I think largely due to the fact that they were Jewish as well. So yeah, it's just like, yeah, historical trauma that we've been a part of. And that's also why what they're seeing right now happening to me is striking, and especially painful nerve, because it's crazy to flee something to, you know, come to a country where you hope for a better life and to see the same anti-Semitism, maybe in a different way, but it's the same underneath, being targeted at, you know, their American born daughter is pretty, mm-hmm. pretty crazy mm-hmm. for them.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's yeah. really terrible. It's like, it's not even one generation of things being okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, it doesn't really happen for us as Jews, but no. They're also very, you know, proud and inspired. And I think that a lot of Jews are realizing what happens when Jews stay silent. And I really am thankful that our generation is different. Our generation yeah. is not as silent. We are much louder. We are braver. We are stronger. You know, yeah, like 18-year-olds around the world. Like, we have 18-year-olds in the Israeli army. And we have 18-year-olds on campus fighting for the Jewish community. Like, we're incredible.
I think a lot of older Jews, including my generation, I feel like, are worried about, like, the state of younger Jews.
Yeah, that's fair.
Specifically in regards to like anti-Zionism and just
yeah.
falling for all this propaganda. How do you feel about that? Like, do you think it's like a legitimate concern, or do you think it's better than we think?
I think it is legitimate, because I think that when I speak to high school students, especially, they have the greatest levels of fear. So mm-hmm. it's not even that they will be convinced otherwise. It's that I don't think that they know what they're walking into and how to deal with it. And I think they're terrified, and rightfully so. So I think it's just our job to be mindful of that and to try to equip them with the tools that they need to be able to stand up for themselves, to be able to fight against anti-Semitism on their campus when they get there. So I do think it's legitimate, but I do think we have an opportunity. We have a window right now to get ahead of it. And it's for people like us to continue putting stuff out there and demonstrating that being that strength gives you power, and that like mm-hmm. going and being proudly Jewish is the best possible choice that you can make in this situation. And you can be proudly Jewish in a different way. I mean, I always say, like, the biggest mistake Jewish influencers make when they're speaking to a younger crowd is trying to convince all of them that they have to be the Jewish student body president of their university. because that's not going to be every student. And I don't want students to feel discouraged from being a part of our Jewish, you know, mishpacha and our movement just because they're not like a natural leader. Mm-hmm. There's so many other ways for Jewish people and Jewish students to stand up for us without being the face and without being in a leadership role. So I think that's the goal, is kind of teaching Jewish students the many ways that they can be a part of this and the many ways that they can be proudly who they are, and then making sure that they're well educated before they get to campus, because campus is the most dangerous point. Mm-hmm. So that's my thoughts.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you.
I think we're good. Are we good?
Yeah, we're good.
Slay. Okay, I'm going to stop recording.